now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
Show Kane.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flips.
PodAwful.net.
Are you receiving me?
Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one author podcast in all of Booktown. I'm your host, Parker. I'm joined this week by Jason Cumulus Frisbee. How are you doing, Cumulus Frisbee?
I've been better, man. You just left me in Gaza. That was not fucking cool.
Well, you were busy peeing. I had to get out of there. I didn't want to be there for that.
I was running towards our plane. And I distinctly heard someone ask you, hey, do we need to let him on? And I heard you say in response, no, I don't know that, Frisbee. Let's go. You acknowledged that it was me running towards the plane. How fucking dare you just say, like, no, I don't know that Jason Frisbee. What's wrong with you?
Well, like, to be fair, you were with those, like, seven creepy dudes who keep showing up.
And they're still here. This is fucked up. Why are you still here?
Feeling better, Mr. Frisbee?
No. God damn it. These guys are a pain in the ass. Yeah. I had to, like, duck and weave with these motherfuckers all week, man.
Well, that's very interesting, Frisbee.
No, it's not. You. These assholes are the worst.
Well, they got here a few days before you did. They've been hanging out at my house, as they always do, waiting for us to record because they're big fans of yours.
Well, that explains a lot. I mean, that explains why they left me to die on my own. I mean, I was thankful that they left, but, you know, they took all my money while I was asleep. I think I was drugged or something. Did you guys drug me? Like, what the hell happened back there?
I mean, I just can't take anymore, Frisbee.
What?
I think maybe they're turning on you.
I guess you can't take any more of my money? Is that it? I don't have any, you fucking dicks. This is the worst.
I'll see you tomorrow, Frisbee.
Yeah, leave, asshole.
Do you think?
I don't know their names. I just called them asshole and dicks.
Yeah, I don't even know their names either. I mean, do you think that they're ugly? Are you so mad at them that you think that they're ugly?
I think they're ugly, sure, but that's not
the least of it. You'll become accustomed to our appearance, Mr. Frisbee.
I have not yet. Oh my god, I cannot believe they're here right now. This is the... I hate these fucking guys.
Yeah, well, they didn't show up when you weren't on the show last week. So that was a nice reprieve of just being able to stretch out in my living room without all these goons talking about how great you are.
I don't know what to make of them. It's like... I have no idea why they're here. How did they survive? Like, are you retired? What do you live off of?
I don't think that they say anything about that. I think they're pretty tight-lipped.
I don't think they have any... They would want to comment on it, but it's just... It boggles my fucking mind that they're just hanging out at your place and commenting so heavily on me and then, like, stealing my money and my shoes? Like, you didn't need to take my shoes?
Man, why would they take your shoes?
To trade in for money or something? Like... I have no idea what it was. If they needed to, like, steal a car or... It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's pretty bogus.
What would you need shoes for?
I don't know. The one of these cocksuckers was talking about how he was going to steal all your horseradish, too. So you might want to safeguard that.
Horseradish. Where do you keep the horseradish, Frisbee?
Dick.
Mr. Frisbee, no one... for the first time in his life, to the loss for words.
They're laughing at you and everything.
Just a bunch of assholes. No one touches my damn horseradish. I need that for my Arby's sandwiches.
You Your Arby's sandwiches are going to taste so bland without them.
I know. What am I going to use? Horsey sauce?
Ugh.
The name alone is disgusting. It just implies that it came from a horse, and it comes out all white.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
This is the grossest, like, yeah.
I would never eat that crap. I've never had that stuff at Arby's. I always go with the Arby's sauce because, A, it tastes good, and B, I'm not putting no white crap on my sandwich, man.
I know, man. I told you earlier that I had some Greek yogurt, like some straight-up Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
I was going for the protein content because, you know, I've been so malnourished this entire fucking week. And it's just, it was the worst tasting thing. Like, it was like trying to eat sour cream just straight from the can.
That's gross.
Yeah, there was no redeeming benefit. I'm sure there was some health benefits according to the nutritional chart, but who cares about that when it tastes like garbage?
Mm-hmm.
I was totally with you on that. Like, sometimes a food will taste a little bit good at the end, like, you know, how it might have a weird consistency or something, but it has that nice umami flavor that's so particular to Asian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not at all the case with Greek yogurt. It's just, it tastes kind of bad. You're like, oh, this almost tastes like yogurt, but I feel like something's missing. And then as you like finish your bite, and you swallow it, and then you just realize that all that's going to happen is like this tangy, sour nonsense in your mouth. It's really not good.
Yeah, that sounds awful. I've never had yogurt. I've had frozen yogurt, but never like the real goopy yogurt before.
And then you live in heaven right now. You don't go to hell. Just keep eating frozen yogurt.
I will. There's a frozen yogurt place by my house. It's called Big Kahuna Frozen Yogurt. And you go in. I just discovered it the other day, even though it's been there like the entire time I've lived here. And I got really mad at my wife for never telling me about it before, because she knew about it the whole time.
Uh-huh. But
you go in. It's like all self-serve. You grab a bowl. You put all these different flavored yogurts in there. Right? Like, they got all the, like, soft serve right there on the wall. So you just do whatever you want.
And all the fixins?
All the fixins. They got all the fixins. Man, crushed up candy bars they got. They got all kinds of cereal, man. You're putting Captain Crunch on your peanut butter flavored frozen yogurt, and you're living on Easy Street. Then they got all kinds of, like, weird fruits you can put on top, and, like, caramel, and fucking, like, hot peanut butter and stuff. Dude, it's, like, fucking nuts. I've been there twice in 1 week. It's, like, crazy. It's, like, 40 cents, like, an ounce or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prices of weed when you were living in the olden days. And, yep. Yeah, it's fucking great. It's, like, the most delicious shit ever.
Big Kahuna frozen yogurt?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a picture of, like, Samuel Jackson on the side? It says, like, that's some tasty frozen yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
It says, our customers don't look like a bitch.
Yeah. Would you like some water to wash down that tasty frozen yogurt? Or a Sprite? Well, I'm glad that you've been living the life. Well, I've been in hell. And I do have to say that I caught up on the PPR that I wasn't on, and it was adorable.
Well, thank you.
Promise me the next time that if we have to go somewhere and I do die, like when the studio audience finally does murder me for whatever morbid reason they need to, that Jennifer takes over, because she did excellent and it was super funny and I laughed a lot.
Well, thank you. I'll tell her that that's the new rule. Although I think Katie Roth will probably be mad about that, because I think I told her one time that when you die, she gets to take over, but...
Have them both, man. It's a pool party.
That's sake. True, yeah. Pool parties can't have more than two people. But, yeah, I think that she had fun doing it. It was her first podcast.
Yeah.
You know, these young kids today, some of them haven't even podcasted in their life, so I was glad to make her dreams come true.
So innocent. So, so young.
Yeah.
And so fucking funny. Yeah, you two. I mean, the times I was able to hang out with the two of you, you two do communicate in a very adorable fashion. It's super cute. It's something I strive for in a relationship. And yeah, it's great that you had some time away from that studio audience as well.
Yeah, that was the best part, getting away from those guys. But thanks. And I think now she might start listening to podcasts more, which is good because she doesn't listen to any of them at all. And then Mike on the Kissing Contest show, he was talking about how He made up a story about how on that last episode my wife said that she only listens to the pool party episodes that he's on, which, although that part is not true, it's almost true because we, on the way driving to Las Vegas, we listened to an episode of Kissing Contest, so technically she does listen to Kissing Contest more than Pool Party, so he's sort of right.
Yeah, I guess. I guess he's sort of right this one time.
Yeah. So now he's going to start wearing tights with my wife's face airbrushed on them, like Jake the Snake and Rick Rude.
Rick Rude, yeah. I was going to say, the rudest man.
Mm-hmm. And then I will be Jake the Snake, or I will be Macho Man in this situation, and then I will say, Mike Dick ruined my wedding. Because that's my favorite wrestling quote of all time, that time the Black Machismo was talking about that time the Snake Roberts ruined his wedding. I like to bring that up whenever possible. We've played that clip on the show hundreds of times, I'm sure.
I know we played it quite a bit. It was even the title of one of our episodes.
I think it was the title of two of our episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
We need to keep an eye on that shit. Oh, well.
That's how much I like that reference.
Yeah, it's a great reference. It could be the title of every episode.
Maybe it'll be the title of this episode.
Yeah.
I think that's the only good thing that's ever come out of TNA is Black Machismo saying that Snake Roberts ruined his wedding.
TNA's?
Yeah, TNA, the wrestling company.
Yeah.
They're bogus. Oh, a long time ago, I told Katie Ratz that we would do another wrestling episode to review SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks ago, she was like, hey, we're going to do that episode. And I said, no, because I made this decision without you, but I think you'll agree to the terms.
Okay.
I told her, and wrestling spoiler alert here, that as long as John Cena's champion, we would be boycotting the WWE. But John Cena's not champion anymore, so we get to talk about wrestling again soon.
Okay, that's good. I was hoping to see a match at the end of September. They're coming to Memphis for Raw.
Oh, nice.
I think I missed on the Primo seats, though. Like, they're all... I think they're all taken. It might be sold out. Which is okay, because I'm going to go see John C. Riley the night before in Nashville. And that should be fun. Yeah. It's Dr. Steve Brule from Tim and Eric.
Nice.
Hopefully it'll be funny. Hopefully it won't be lame. Who knows? I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. He's the funniest part of Tim and Eric, I feel.
Yeah, he might be the funniest part of Adult Swim, too. Who knows? But Black Jesus seems to be pretty funny, too.
Yeah. I think the last few episodes of Rick and Morty got good.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah, that'll be good. Wrestling is in my town. Well, like a couple of weeks ago, wrestling was here, but I didn't go because we just got back from Vegas. We don't really have any, like, money to buy 800 Rey Mysterio shirts like I would want to.
Yeah.
And and also because at my work, I'm gonna spill some work gossip. Like 800 people have gone on vacation.
Oh, shit.
So even if I wanted to take a day off to go see wrestling, I couldn't. I'm pretty upset about it. How you gonna go on vacation the week of Labor Day?
Yeah, it's insane.
I don't even get Labor Day off now.
Oh, you don't?
No, because I got a cover for everybody who took their vacations on Labor Day.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah, man, come on. How are you going to do that to somebody?
I was going to try to go out of town for Labor Day. I was trying to make plans, and then I realized that I had my entire month schedule messed up. I'm actually house-sitting this coming weekend again, and it doesn't... I almost fucked up. I almost made plans to go out of state. Like, yeah, I'll watch it, dogs. As long as they can feed themselves. Bye. Yeah.
You could just take those dogs with you. It'll be like a wacky adventure. It'll be like Adventures in Babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
Just dress up one of those dogs like Thor. You know? Hit the town. You can go downtown.
Yeah, hang out with Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, yeah. That guy. He was in a movie I just watched.
I believe it. He's in a lot of films.
I forget what it was, though. Not a very good story.
He's in this movie I watched.
Oh, well.
Speaking of movies watched, I saw that there is a special signed autograph photo for you from one of your favorite movie idols.
Oh, my God. Listener Adam is the greatest person to ever live. He, the other day, well, I think he mentioned it on Twitter a while back, and then I kind of forgot about it. because I'm a butthole. But then the other day, he asked me for my address, and he showed me a picture on Facebook of a signed picture of Julian Sands, and it's Julian Sands holding a spider, and it's also Julian Sands telling me to, you know, beware of the spiders and not get hurt by them, which I feel, because he was a warlock, is much less a suggestion and much more a protective ward.
Yes.
I'm glad you're on board with that.
I'm totally on board with that. Go on.
So I can't wait to get it because I was actually very scared by a spider today. I went to go to the bathroom to make a number two.
Mm-hmm.
And as I closed the door, there's a huge spider on the door. And
yeah.
I legitimately went, oh!
I believe it.
So I really need that picture to get here. That way I can stop being afraid. And that way they'll leave my house.
Sounds excellent. Yeah, I was super excited to see that photo. That dude is probably the best human being around to be able to get that for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's like the best thing. And I congratulate him.
It's such a specific message because, I mean, since we started this show, like, you've had so many stories about giant insects, particularly, spiders as arachnids, you know, dealing with those out in the harsh wasteland that is not LA or San Francisco or San Diego. So yeah, I'm sure it'll be a nice protective spell for your household.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it will be. And I have a signed picture of Mary Warnoff of her with Julian Sands from the movie Warlock. So I got a nice collection going on. And then, of course, you got me that signed picture of Claire Kramer from Buffy, who I love. She has nothing to do with Julian Sands, but very foxy.
And very powerful. I mean, maybe more powerful than a warlock. I'm not going to go all the way and say that for sure, but yeah, she was a god, so.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Probably more powerful than a warlock.
Yep.
Best Buffy villain, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's been
a very exciting week.
It has. It's been a crazy week. Once you got back from Gaza, you went to Ohio, right?
Yeah, I did a bunch of shit.
tell me more. In fact, could you make a whole speech about it? I know these guys have been bugging me. They like it when you make speeches here.
Go ahead, Frisbee. Make a speech. I've been waiting all day for this.
They sound so catty now. Like, every time I hear them speak, all I can see is them running off my shoes giggling like a bunch of schoolgirls.
You think they're sarcastic now?
I think so. I think they're just biting and shit.
Frisbee, an incredible specimen. Done everything. Knows everything.
Well, let me tell you about everything, you sons of bitches. I went back to Ohio. But not before I did some hanging out in Little Rock. I went to a microcinema thing here. They showed a clip of this. They showed this movie, The War Game. Are you familiar with this?
The Matthew Broderick one?
No. Oh. It's one from like early 60s, late 50s.
No. That's before my time, Frisbee. I would never watch a movie like that.
Well, you might want to watch this one because it's a fake documentary thing about what would happen to England if it got attacked by nuclear weapons back when the Soviet Union was still around.
I would love to watch this movie.
Yeah.
This is the feel-good movie of the year.
I was going to say, like, it's just the bulk of the film is British people, like, trying to sit down to tea and then feeling rumblings and then a giant flash of light and then their face is burning off.
Oh, my God. This is the greatest movie I've ever heard of.
Yeah. I thought you might like this. I saw it once before, like, a year ago on TCM. I woke up in the middle of the night and at TCM, they usually do this thing, like, on Friday and Saturday nights, like, midnight, 1 a.m., where it's underground cinema, and they'll play like two or three films that they wouldn't play during the day because it's, you know, it might be kids watching or whatever. So they save it until the evening. And they're like, all right, here's some creepy shit. Here's some weird ass shit. This guy pulls his eyes out at the end of the film. Enjoy it. And this one, I walked in on it. I didn't get any prep for it. But you start to understand, like, it's a documentary. And apparently it's a film that was well regarded. But it was made for the BBC, and the BBC completely, like, once they saw the finished product that this guy put out, they're like, no, we don't want a fucking part of this. We thought there was going to be something else entirely, and you just made the most disturbing film ever. Thank you very much. Goodbye. that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up winning awards. I think it got an award for best documentary. I don't know if it was an Oscar. It might be a different award. But it's not a documentary. I mean, it does deal with factual information. Like, here's what would happen if this happened. But the way it's shot makes it look like it actually happened. So, yeah, you see, like, a bunch of people, like, a bunch of British people burnt to crisp and dealing with life after nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. both on the level that British people have to deal with nuclear holocaust. And I just like stories like that, you know? I like into the world stories. I was trying to read this book. That's sort of like that. It's like this big sci-fi epic that people like totally love about if America would have been like killed by atomic bombs in the 80s. And like these, it's sort of like World War Z. I think a lot of World War Z is like inspired by this, where like two guys just like walk around and like talk to people about their stories and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I read like the first half of it, but then I had to give it back to the library and then I felt bad that I didn't finish it.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm proud of you for going to see this movie.
You know? Yeah, there was something else that played after it. Because it was a banned film, they played another banned film. And I didn't stick around for the second one, but it was still a good time.
Nice. So it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was really well done. Everybody was bummed out afterwards. It was great.
Yeah, sounds good. I like that. I like those kind of movies. I like movies where everybody just leaves sad.
Yeah, The War Game. That's the one. And the following day, I drove back to Dayton, hung out with some friends at Trolley Stop, the friends that I was actually set to marry. I officiated a wedding last weekend. And that was, let's see, I got in on Thursday. We did some hanging out and prep stuff on Friday. And shit. Saturday, I got to see some family for a short while, but then like the entire afternoon was this wedding. And I thought I did all right. Like I landed everything that I needed to say pretty well. And there was one part where the part that I accentuated was kind of off. But at the very end, when I could see myself in the clear, and there was like a joke that my friend agreed to one in there. I think he actually wrote it in there, or she wrote it in there. That landed really well and got a big response from everyone. So it was like this nice icebreaker at the end. And we're finishing it up. And this is a friend that I've known for like 13 years, 14 years. We'll just call him like, I won't use his real name, but Wormstrom. We'll just use Wormstrom.
Wormstrom.
Wormstrom. I said, and maybe the first to present to you, Mr. and Mrs. Wormstrom. And I completely fucked up the last name. And like the microphone cut out too, and everybody laughed.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, it was fine. I don't think they would have had me up there if they didn't think that I would add some humor to it unintentionally like that. And they both chuckled and the crowd chuckled and everything. And because it was a very serious, solemn sort of event, you know, even though it wasn't religious or anything, it was still like this, you know, I mean, it can be moving sometimes. It's very powerful. And it's very sweet to see two people who are, you know, in love, like basically proclaiming that, like, hey, this is what we're going to do for the remainder of our lives. And it's a serious thing. And then to have like a lifelong friend just be like, I fucked up the last name. And that's the only thing I fucked up. It's kind of silly.
I like that. There's a certain amount of irony to that.
Right. So, we all partied hard after that. We went to a hotel party after that. That was fun. And, had Cousin Vitties there. I didn't eat any, but it was ordered in.
Nice.
Always good. Yeah. Did some more like hanging out with them and then later on with family on Sunday. That was super cool. And on Monday I drove back and, Sunday I had Skyline Chili. I think you should know that.
Nice.
It was really tasty. I had a three-width bean, well, four-width bean, I guess I should say, and a coney. Tastes the same. Instantly regretted it, but it was still worth it.
Oh, it's good. It's good stuff.
And then I came back, like, and later on in the week, I saw that there was this entire White Castle challenge thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like a challenge for some of the folks involved. Like, Corey looked really distraught by eating it. Sean Byron looked okay. Seemed like he was doing well for a guy who, I don't know if he's had White Castle or not otherwise.
And I would think Moss, so. He keeps his White Castle in with his finest VHSs. So he seems like a man who's accustomed to White Castle.
Right? And it was like chicken sandwich White Castle. The finest, like the most rare of White Castle. And I would expect nothing less from Sean Byron's collection.
Mm-hmm.
and of course, Kevin Moose had White Castle dumped on him as part of the White Castle challenge for hashtag problems. Because mm-hmm. he lives in a place that has White Castle. I, without knowing this thing was even going on my way back, I made sure that White Castle was en route back home. So I had White Castle for lunch. It was delicious. But yeah. I suppose there's a challenge going around now.
You didn't even take the challenge.
I didn't even take the challenge. But I didn't know there was a challenge anyway, so people can challenge away.
Well, yeah. I spoiler alert, I'm going to be uploading one probably before the time that this is up. My White Castle challenge, the Corey dared me to do. And I'm calling you out in it, Mr. Frisbee. Cumulus Frisbee.
Oh, shit.
And I did take the liberties. I know that you don't live on the, you know, where they have White Castles, but I took the liberty. They do sell them at a number of supermarkets near your house. Walmart, Save-A-Lot, places like this.
Okay.
So you can get them if you want.
All right. Yeah.
Or not, you know, or you can just let problems conquer us all, you know? You don't have
to. Hashtag problems, I can deal with that.
I actually made a Live Strong bracelet that says problems on it.
Really?
I did. I can send it to you if you want, if you conquer the challenge.
I might need that as a reminder, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You got to remind people that problems are out there.
Yeah.
Corey's a hero.
Yeah, there's problems everywhere.
Yeah, Corey, he's a hero for reminding people about problems. A lot of people forget, you know? A lot of people go on about today. They don't even think about problems, you know? It's just...
Yeah, and I don't toss around the word heroes lightly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did call that bartender a hero for just getting me another beer.
Mm-hmm.
But Corey's a hero. I think he's a pretty, pretty big hero.
Mm-hmm.
And so is everyone who's part of this challenge.
I agree. Matthew Sweetman actually just took his.
Really?
Yeah, just a few minutes before we sat down to record. It's on, if you go to facebook.com/junkfooddinner, it's on there. He left it there. It's a pretty good one.
Well then, yeah, Matthew Sweetman's a hero too. And I expect to be a hero as well. I'm not going to, you know, toot my own horn, but I think I'll be a hero when I take part in this challenge.
You will be a hero.
Thank you. But yeah, I already ate White Castle. It was delicious. It's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty yum. Sometimes it's yum. Like, I don't know. It's like the kind of thing you have to like be in the mood for. Like sometimes it's like the best thing in the pot, like in the whole world. But sometimes you get it and you're just like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like, what's going on here?
It has to be one of those conscious decisions that you go into. Like, yeah, I really want White Castle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't blame people for wincing at it, but still. It can be very delicious. Can be. Like anything else.
Yeah.
I did some other shit this week. I saw that Rift Trax about Godzilla.
Nice.
Thursday, after checking out some apartments and whatnot, I got a text from a friend asking if I liked this guy named Billy Bragg. You know who Billy Bragg is?
I do.
Okay.
A British...
Say?
He's a British.
He's a Brit. He's a British.
He's a British. That's the correct nomenclature.
He played a free show in Little Rock on Thursday night at this little honky-tonk dive called Whitewater Tavern. The guy named Joe Purdy out of Northwest Arkansas. And I made it to the show. It was fucking fantastic.
Nice.
They did, like, dual songs together about railroad songs, like all these Leadbelly songs about, like, the Rock Island Line and stuff like that. They played for about an hour, and they would play like a song together. Then Joe would do one, then Billy would do one. They'd do another song together, and Billy would talk quite a bit. He mentioned Morrissey. He said that he's envious of Morrissey on two counts. One, because he's really handsome, and two, because he got to yodel on all those Smith songs. Mm-hmm. And he wished he could yodel too. So he did a song where he got to yodel. And the last song that he did, aside from like doing songs like Sexuality and Power to the Union, was he ended up with the one that you're probably familiar with, because Kepi Ghouli covered it along with other bands, because it's a great song, New England.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And basically the crowd ended up singing it because he just could not control the swell and he wasn't going to try and let the crowd just kind of sing the chorus and stuff. So that's it was jam. An incredible moment. Really fun.
That sounds fun. That's a good jam. One time, I would like to apologize to Jay Madewell right now. Jay is, is a DJ at a place we used to go to called Pearl. Pearl in Dayton. And he used to do these 80s nights where he would play the music, you know, people would have fun and dance. And one time he was like, right in the middle of it, everybody's swinging, everybody's having fun, drinking, dancing. He shows me his, you know, all the records. He goes, hey, you know, I just picked this up. It's a sweet, you know, 80s compilation. Look it over. And I was like, oh, man, you know, a New England's on here. That's my jam. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll play it then if it's your jam. And then I, like, didn't mention to him, like, that it's, like, a real slow, sad jam. So everybody went from, like, dancing and having fun to, like, being, like, really bummed out. And, like, everybody left the dance floor and stuff, and it kind of ruined the night.
Yeah.
So I apologize. I should have mentioned it's a slow jam.
Well, good on him for actually playing it, though, because he did not give a shit. I'm sure he knew what it was. I'm guessing he knew what it was. I don't know.
I don't think he did.
Oh, well, shit. Then, yeah, good on him for anyway, for just doing like a blind shoot and playing whatever the hell you suggested. That's the mark of a true friend
or a
true good dude.
That's true. It's a real solid move. I'm sad I ruined his night with it, but it was a solid move on his part.
Yeah. But yeah. Last night I went to a game night. Have you been to a game night before?
What, like D&D?
Not exactly. People bring like whatever new games they've got. It's a lot of card games these days, see.
A lot of Cards Against Humanity.
That was there. So was Munchkin, if you're familiar with that.
I don't know about that.
It's like I don't know. It's like a quick version of D&D, I guess.
Oh, nice.
Without the role-playing, but it's just like the action part. And some other shit, too, that I was not familiar with. A lot of it's kind of like this... I mean, it all deals with cards, but it's all about, like, skill and strategy. But thankfully for dum-dums like me, there was an NES plugged in, so I played that most of the time.
Nice. What were you playing?
I played Dino Riki. It's this old Hudson Soft game. The guys who did, like, what was that game called? Like, the one with the guy with the hula skirt and the ball cap. It's something like, shit, I don't know. I forget what it's called. But it was like their flagship game where this guy had a hula skirt and a ball cap and he ran across an island. This one was kind of like the game Commando, where you play, instead of a commando where you keep walking up the screen, or like Gunsmoke, where you're a cowboy and you walk up the screen, mm-hmm. you play a caveman and you walk up the screen. And the game was fucking cheap as hell. And shitty to play. It was just an interesting relic because I'd never played it before. And the guy who brought it, we were talking about like the history of it. And he's like, yeah, this game's really cheap. Here's a code to help you restart from the last place you died. I didn't make it past like level one. It was that hard. So I played Tetris for a while. I played Mega Man 2 for a while. Then later a friend of mine came by. And he's like, oh, Mega Man 2, sweet. So after he got done, like, talking with people, he played through Mega Man 2 in its entirety, even the secret boss. And
nice.
He was like, all right, that was fun. I'll see you guys later.
I respect that guy.
Yeah, right? I mean, I respect him, too. He's quite the jovial dude. Just, you know, made his rounds, said hello to everyone. He's like, well, I'm going to go beat Mega Man 2 real quick. And he did. He didn't even announce it like that. He's just like, oh, Mega Man 2, I'll play this. He beat everything. It was fucking insane.
Man, kind of a show-off, though. Like, I feel like I would respect him more if he would have announced it first. But like he was like kind of card-sharking everybody, you know, like, oh, I've heard of Mega Man 2, you know? Like,
sort of. I didn't actually get his entire spiel. I just saw him, like, come around and just, like, talk to people and say, like, hey, what are you playing? Oh, okay. Because everybody else was already involved in games, and because he couldn't, like, just jump in on any, I don't think he was actually saying stuff like, well, I guess I'll play Mega Man 2. I think he's just like, oh, sweet. Yeah, he's played this game a lot. And then he just started it and played through it.
Well, maybe I'm just projecting. I've been card-sharked by a lot of Mega Man 2 players in my day.
Tell me about it.
You know,
I've lost a lot of money on Mega Man 2 game players.
But I do respect this. I respect any person who will go and just beat a Nintendo game right in the middle of a party. That's a skill I don't have.
Fuck yeah, dude, right?
I can't beat crap, man. I would ruin a party. I play Wizards and Warriors. You know that part, like in the lava world, where you got to use the boots of levitation and then you got to jump on that other part? I would get so mad. I would throw the controller. I would ruin the party. I said, oh, Wizards and Warriors, I hate you. And everybody would leave.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd probably do the same thing if anybody brought Dinariki again. I'm like, oh yeah, I can get through this. Let me just get these butterflies that I can fire at things. You get butterflies to shoot at your enemies with. Doesn't make much sense, this game.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I do what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to gripe more about that game. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I want to give a shout out to my man Bracky Wacky on Twitter, Josh, former guest of the show. He beat Metroid the other day. He posted some screen caps of it on Twitter. I'm just very proud of him because Metroid's a pretty hard game. I don't know that I ever beat it. Maybe I did, but probably not because it was kind of hard. So he beat it the other day. I'm very proud of him. I think we're all very proud of him, you know?
I'm proud of him. He's our special man. Yep. Applause. He's our beautiful boy. And I hope he's taking those pictures as instructed by Nintendo Power so he can send in the finish screen to Nintendo Power and make sure it gets published in that wonderful magazine.
That'd be pretty good. What was a game you remember beating that you were very proud of for Nintendo, Mr. Frisbee?
Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers video game.
Nice.
DuckTales, I beat that one too.
Oh, that's a good one.
There was nothing like really hard that I played that I beat on Nintendo. It was more of these like kind of action-y, adventure-y games that were intended for people in my age group to beat.
What about Super Nintendo?
Earthbound. I beat Earthbound. I had to re-rent that game a couple of times from Blockbuster. Thank you. Thanks, new audience. That was way more people.
Some people were walking by my apartment window at the time when you said that.
Again, yeah. That was during the summer it came out, I think like 94. And because the memory cartridge was within each game, this was before like we had memory cards and shit. And God, that feels ancient. But I had to make sure that I re-rented that copy of Earthbound because it's an RPG and it takes a long time to beat. So you get a game for like 5 days and I would just play nonstop, basically like building characters up and making sure that they all had all the shit they needed. And this was even pre-internet. So I didn't know if I was getting everything I needed to. And, before I had internet. So yeah, I re-rented that game probably 3 or 4 times on a cycle, that one cartridge, and, beat it. And it was a horrifying ending. You get your brain removed, and then you have to go fight the epitome of evil, which is this alien named Gygax, or Gygas.
It sounds horrifying.
Yeah, it's a really weird ending. And the ending bit of that game, the dialogue of this, like, this, it's the way they show the creature, Gygas, as he's just like, he's all the evil thoughts of people in the world at this point. He looks like one of Cronenberg's transformative monsters from The Thing. Like you can see like the top part of his skull, but the bottom jaw seems to be missing and it kind of swirls off. and he's like warbling around. And the only dialogue that he has is like, it sounds like he's talking to somebody else entirely. And he says stuff like, it hurts. And he says, like, it shows up really slowly. Then it says, like, it feels good. And he's like, this is bad. And he says, like, no, no, no. And it turns out, this is the weirdest, most fucked up part, that Itoi, who developed the game, he was the guy who did, like, a lot of marketing ad work in Japan. He was asked to do, like, the precursor, and then he was brought back to do this one, too, this Earthbound game. That dialogue, that ending fight sequence, he lifted that from a scene in a movie that he accidentally walked in on as a kid, and he thought was a rape scene. And that was a dialogue that he heard during that scene, and he was traumatized by it. And he's like, well, this is the worst shit that I've ever heard, so I'm going to have this in a video game someday.
A video game aimed for kids who will also be traumatized.
Right? It is nutty. And it turns out now that people have actually been able to like find that movie, it's a murdering scene. It's not a rape scene. Mm. But the way that it's shot, like a kid who's kind of like on the cusp of sexuality and doesn't know what's happening, he sees like this woman getting choked and everything and what she's saying, is going to be traumatized regardless. And him looking back on it was like, or his looking back on it was developed like, well, maybe that was a rape scene in a movie. Oh my God, what did I walk in on? Anyway, a horrifying moment, but otherwise like a very, very charming game beyond that. Like everything before it's really engaging, fun, weird. Have you ever played it?
I rented it once, but it was like the first RPG I ever tried. So I was like,
same here. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was not into it at the time. I was like, where's the action? Why am I just walking around collecting fucking potions? Like, this is a horse shit.
Yeah.
So I never did. But, you know, I think I've got Super Nintendo emulator on my computer. Maybe I'll give it a try.
I figured you would really like it. You might like it more now. One of the things that I found appealing as a kid is that, like, some of your enemies are cops. Like, you get to beat up cops. You beat up an entire police force in that game.
Man, nice. That's perfect.
Yeah, especially these days.
Yeah, man.
That's one thing that I, you know, was a pleasure to miss out on when I was in Gaza, was the cops in Ferguson being so shitty.
Yeah, they're pretty shitty, you know? They're just going around killing people.
Yeah, and then they're bringing up their tanks. Cops with tanks, what the fuck?
Yeah, they said, oh, you guys are, like, pretty unhappy that we killed your friend. Well, here's, like, we're just, like, going to go get our tanks and our, like, sniper rifles, and we'll be right back. We'll see how you like us then. Yeah, that'll solve the problem. Not, like, apologizing and, like, saying, hey, we'll try, like, hard not to be, like, racist pieces of shit who think that, like, we're in charge of everything. No, we'll just go get our tanks that we need. You know, a country that's never been invaded. We'll just go get our tanks, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that shows you what's most feared, and it's the own citizenry. And it's not totally true, though, because they also use tear gas. A debatable nerve agent gas that's just fucking horrible. Like, why is this happening? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because some stores got looted because people are upset. I get that. But why are you still using tanks and shit? It doesn't make any sense.
You don't need no tanks.
Yeah, it's your citizenry. This isn't like the loser or some bullshit. You need to readjust your perspective. You need to get rid of all that shit for one. Mm-hmm. Start treating people like fucking people.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not like cops are having like a hard time choking people to death. Like, I could see if they were attempting to choke people to death and failing at it, but obviously they're pretty good at it because it's the only stuff on the news for the last couple of years. Like, right. You know, I could see if like they were trying to choke people and like failing and like, oh, we need to up our ante. We need tanks to better kill, you know, these people who, you know, the steal $10 worth of cigars or whatever it is. I don't.
Right. Yeah. Citrus sweets got stolen. Well, let's get six bullets loaded because that's the only recourse to this action.
Yeah, it's insane. These fucking cops, they're the worst. This is why, Mr. Frisbee, this is why I get so upset about the fact that I'm not allowed to turn left in California. There's no turning on left when it's a red light. And it makes me upset. Two totally different things, I guess. But
yeah, I don't quite. What? You can't turn on left on red. That makes sense, right?
No, it's like a whole thing. It's hard to explain, but Like, in Ohio, you can turn left, you know, if, like, nobody's coming at you.
On a one-way street that's going left. Right?
No.
Is that what
like,
you're saying?
Like, if you're, like, at an intersection, you know, and it's, like, green, you know, and, like, the other way coming towards you is also green. Like, you can turn left if nobody's coming, right?
Yeah, if it's green.
Yeah, not in California.
You can't turn left if it's green?
No. You can't turn left. They make it red. They put two lights up there. They make it red.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking goofy, man.
It's bullshit. And it's the cops' fault. And I hate them.
I don't know where that started, but that's some wacky nonsense.
Man, it's the worst part about California, man.
Sounds like.
Anyway.
Well, that and the bugs.
Yeah. And also, in the town I work in, for my paper, the cops killed 3 people in 1 month. That's pretty bad, too.
Yeah. It's also really bad.
It's pretty bad. That is bad. Yeah, cops. They're going way too far, man. We don't need them. When's a cop ever done, like, a good thing? Like, ever. Has a cop ever helped you in your life, Mr. Frisbee? Or is he just giving you hassle?
Well, I do have one story. When I was in Xenia, during that old-timey days thing that they do, people walk around in old-timey dress.
That's just how they are in Xenia. That's, like, just normal everyday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So they wear, like, these Victorian clothes and look old-timey.
Yeah, a guy riding around in a bicycle with one big wheel.
It's fucked up, man. The entire city's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
There were some kids, like, throwing rocks at geese. And their dad, who looked like the dad in that Sublime video for The Wrong Way. Do you remember that? Where he's, like, has a tank top and a big cigar. Mm-hmm. He had a clown nose in the video, too. But this guy didn't have a clown nose.
Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't, like, Bijou Phillips in that video?
Maybe, but the lead singer from Fishbone was definitely in it.
I like that guy, too. You know, he does the Jamaica ska.
The Jamaica ska?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's a Back to the Beach reference? I don't know.
Oh, if that was the case, I haven't seen Back to the Beach. I do like a lot of Fishbone stuff, though. Well, I used to have a single of Sunless Saturday, and I had this alternate version from back in Napster. I was trying to, like, download stuff from Napster. I download Fishbone's this song called Weed Plant, and it was this B-side of, or a demo version of Where'd You Get Those Pants? And it's just, they're singing about being a weed plant and how awesome being a weed plant is.
That sounds,
but to make it, sorry?
That sounds very stonery.
It is. But it was a very good song. So they wanted to keep using the melody, so they changed it to this sexy song called Where'd You Get Those Pants? Where he's singing to this lady about how sexy her pants are.
Nice.
Yeah, anyway.
So the geese.
Dude, huh?
So the geese.
Yeah, the geese. These kids are throwing stones at these geese, and these geese aren't doing shit to anybody. But these kids won't let up, so these kids are being dickheads. And the dad's just kind of like, sitting back watching him, this has this cigar in his mouth looking gross. And young, I'm guessing rookie cop, comes over and he's like, kids, what are you doing? Don't throw rocks at these geese. Do they do anything to you? Like, why are you doing this? And the kid's like, that's how they reacted. pretty gross children. And he's like, get out of here. Stop throwing rocks at animals, man. And their dad just kind of like shakes his head at the kids and wags his finger. And he just starts puffing on his cigar. And that was it. Like, that was the exchange. So no one gave a shit about these kids. And these kids didn't give a shit about anything. And decided to like try to kill some random geese, which was shitty. That's like the first sign of being a homicidal, you know, serial killer.
That's true.
Start torturing animals. So I thought that cop did all right. But who knows? He might be like punching somebody in the back of the head now on the side of the highway.
He may be.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's a geese sympathizer. You know, one time, my girlfriend at the time's dad lived at this place that had like a huge pond in the back and there was geese there. And one of the geese killed somebody's dog. So, I don't know. I say fuck geese. And fuck cops who like geese.
Yep.
You know?
Was it Canadian geese by any chance?
It might have been.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
They are the worst. These weren't Canadian geese. I should point that out.
Okay. These geese are. All right. I'm back with you. We're back in agreement.
the beautiful geese that, you know, people tend to throw rocks at to incite violence.
Yeah, you can't throw rocks at those beautiful geese, like those geese that like fall in love, like on Valentine's Day cards. You don't want
to. Let me tell you, yeah, those geese, all they need is just a big heart above their heads. They mate for life.
Yeah.
Or is that swans? I'm probably thinking of swans.
I don't know. I tend not to deal with swans. I don't like when they look at me.
when you're in the bath.
Yeah. But yeah, like Canadian geese are the fucking worst, man. Like I used to drive around when I would go to the movie theater in Beaver Creek where I worked. And there's like just a huge herd of Canadian geese that would just stand in the middle of the fucking road.
Those motherfuckers. I know exactly the ones you're talking about. They lived near where I lived in Beaver Creek too. And they would just do the same shit. Like, well, they would shit everywhere for one. And then they would just kind of like walk in this fucking jets or sharks kind of herd and try to intimidate you. It's fucked up.
Yeah, man. They're not even in this country legally, goddammit.
Yeah, they're flying in from Canada. You're on a day trip. That's not buying it. You've been here all week. So, yeah, those geese are fucked up.
Get out
of
my country.
Those are Canadian geese. Yeah. Yeah. Not to get prejudiced, but Canadian geese are terrible.
They are terrible. They're bigger than normal geese. Scarier. Louder.
More aggro. Where's that aggression coming from? I thought you were Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
They should be nice. Sweet.
They should be.
Whatever.
Pieces of shit.
Oh, so shitty.
Mm-hmm. Beaver Creek is full of shit like that. One time, I was driving to school, and, like, you know, you gotta, like, drive through like these kind of woods to get, you know, to get to like a certain part of the parking lot at Wright State.
Yeah.
And everybody was just stopped in the middle of the road. I was like, what the fuck is this? I got to get to class. You know, I can't be late for class. I got like a test or whatever it is that you do.
Yeah.
Whatever big kids are supposed to do. So I tried to go around, but there's like a deer in the middle of the road, you know? And then, because everybody didn't want to hit the deer, I guess, so they, like, stopped and waited for the deer. But the deer was just standing there. Like, it wasn't moving at all until it saw me ride up. And then it ran away. And then everybody was, like, mad at me. Everybody was like, oh, you motherfucker, you disturbed the deer. But it's like, yo, you guys were just going to, like, sit there and let the deer hang out in the middle of the fucking road all day. You know? Like, what are you mad at me for? I helped the situation. I got the deer back in the goddamn woods.
Yeah, it was probably like, hey, where are the woods? And then he's like, oh, shit, a car. Oh, there's the woods.
Yeah. These goddamn...
That's probably how that inner dialogue went.
Yeah, these animals have brains the size of like a fucking walnut. Like, he's not going to... He was going to stand there for like 3 hours or something, I bet.
Yeah. Deer are kind of gullible and dumb. They tend to wander into neighborhoods. Like, I remember back when I lived in Vandalia, there'd just be deer hanging out in my yard. And it's pristine and beautiful, but then you're like, what the fuck? I could just pull out a weapon and take these beautiful deers out. And they're like, no, it's cool. We didn't think anybody was going to be around, so we just decided to hang out here. So it's kind of dangerous for them. But then again, I guess anywhere is a danger because there's like hunters and shit.
Well, it's kind of dangerous for us. I used to be into deers. Like, I used to get all mad when like people would hunt deers and stuff because like they're cute.
Yeah.
But then I read some news story about how deer, like, I think, like, the number one animal that kills people in America is deer because people driving around and hit them and then die. So I'm pretty good. You want to shoot a deer, go for it. They're kind of shitty. They have no natural predators, you know?
Well, I mean, at this point, not really. Like, they're kind of threatening overpopulation. That's one of the reasons that we do hunt them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also hunters who are avid about it.
Yeah, and also, like, a lot of hunters. Like, I don't really like hunting or guns or anything, like, so I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not like, you know, this is not me coming out of the closet and be like, yeah, hunting and guns. But there are dudes in Xenia, Ohio, the aforementioned Xenia, who used to hunt deer and then give the meat to homeless people. I think that's rad. You know? I'm cool
that's
feeding
cool.
Homeless people. Homeless people got problems.
Hashtag problems.
Yeah, so.
That's fucking rad. If there was more of that, I'd be more down with hunting.
I actually just saw a story in my newspaper the other day about a guy who killed a 300-pound shark and then fed that to homeless people. And I think that's rad. Imagine waking up homeless and finding out you're going to eat a shark.
It's the best day of your life.
It's the best day.
I'm so glad I'm homeless now because how else would I eat shark?
I never got to eat a shark. I'm a little bit jealous of these homeless people. They're even better than me. They got a
I had shark fin soup once when I was in Japan.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
It was underwhelming. But that was a shark fin. I had never had shark otherwise.
I think actually the wife had shark fin something or another when we were at that crazy buffet in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That she swindled me into going to again. Second time we've been there. It's fancy food there.
Fancy as cheese.
Man, they got the fanciest cheeses. They got all kinds of weird, you know, sharks and like all kinds of weird sushi that I don't know anything about. You know, she just comes back with all these fish that were recently killed. Maybe not even killed, maybe alive. I don't know. I don't know what she was eating, but I had a lot of tater tots because they were really good. So I'm glad I spent $80 on that.
That's good. This must have been the tastiest fucking tater tots ever.
They were really good. They were sweet potato tater tots. They were like pretty fucking good though, so I'm not complaining. I would definitely pay $80 again for that.
That's fucking, yeah, that's incredible. You mentioned some fresh fish stuff though, and I wanted to mention that there's this Chinese supermarket, the one that I mentioned earlier, that has like a restaurant inside of it that has like, when you look at the menu for pork and you're thinking like, oh yeah, pork fried rice or twice fried pork or whatever. It's all like 90% of the dishes on the pork section are pork intestines dishes, like pork intestines and hot sauce.
That's yuck.
Well, yeah, it's pretty yuck.
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe you're into it. Maybe the kids are into intestines these days. I don't know. I'm not going to pass any judgment.
I've never tried it, though. I'm too scared to try it just yet. I'll probably try it eventually. But yeah, they got that stuff. They got like goose. And they have all these fish dishes, like fish in a hot pot, fish broiled or whatever. And as it turns out, in their supermarket section, they've got this. I mean, it's a bunch of like different foods from different parts of Asia. And they have this seafood section that's just like the freshest fish I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if it's any good. It might just be like really stringy, bony shit. But they've got like crabs just walking around on top of each other and whatnot.
Nice.
And these fish kind of like half alive, still kind of breathing. It's weird, man. I've never seen anything quite like it. And they've also got like the roasting ducks hanging, you know, like by their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see in... when you're in Chinatown of any major city. Mm-hmm. It's messed up, man. Have you ever been around any of that kind of stuff?
Not really. I managed to avoid a lot of that anytime I've been to like Chinatown or any of those places. But here in some of the supermarkets, like some of the Mexican supermarkets, they have like just straight up like pig heads like simmering. Yeah. And I kind of always want to get one, like just to see what, like, I don't know how you eat that or anything, but, like, if you put it in a stew or if you just peel off pieces or I don't know, but, I've considered it. It's like $25 or something.
Oh, that's a deal and a steal, man.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know what's
it. Pighead?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll get a pighead. Maybe I'll send, Mark Fredo a pighead for the kissing contest next chat. Maybe I'll just send him one in the mail.
That's good. I think what they're mostly used for is for wearing on top of your head when you're using a chainsaw to murder motel guests.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. When we go trick-or-treating, when you come out here for Halloween, I'll just wear a pig head.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like Roy Calhoun in Motel Hell.
Wow. And... Please continue.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would also pair mine with like a bright red robe like in Saw. I would have gotten the Saw reference.
Yeah, there you go.
You're no longer a Saw fan, so it's obvious why you went with the Motel Hell reference.
Right, right. But still, wearing on top of your own head, pretty wise decision, I think. Yeah. Maybe put a wig on top of the big head, like a gray stringy wig.
I'm going to be honest, though. I never saw Motel Hell.
Oh, man. It's pretty fun. Pretty fun film. It's funny to see Roy Calhoun in that. Because he's such a cowboy, you see.
Yeah.
Totally unexpected. But yeah, pork cheek is supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be delicious.
Oh, yeah?
Like very tender. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that might be why people dig on it. But for the entire pig head, it's like, why can't you just sell the pork cheek? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I mean, but I guess they use the rest for stock or something.
Could be. Like, do you think that I could buy that pig head and, like, just bite into the cheek? Or do you think I would have to, like, do other stuff first?
I would hope that you would do other stuff, but I think it'd be really funny if you just bite into the cheek. Like, you just put on a napkin around your neck, tie it up, and then have, like, a big fork and knife. Like, Sylvester the cat, whenever he tries to eat tuna or something, or Tweety Bird, he's like, all right, breakfast. Here's some pork cheek in your eye. And you start chomping away at it. But yeah, it's supposed to be that's the main tasty bit. And I think it's from the face, but I could be wrong about that. I'm not a butcher, you see.
Yeah. Now I'm a little upset I didn't go get a pig head before my White Castle challenge. Like, how great would that have been if I was just wearing the head of a pig on top of my head?
That'd be pretty awesome.
Like, just not even mention it, you know? Like, that's just, like how I normally, like, dress, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be good. Now I'm bummed.
That would be good. It'd be different from how you normally are.
Yeah, now I'm bummed out that I didn't do that. Instead, oh. I was wearing, like, a horse head. You know, can you believe it?
It's played out.
Yeah.
Turns out pork cheeks are indeed the cheeks of a pig, usually 3 to 5 ounces.
Nice.
I just found this out.
I'll get those ounces. I'll eat them up. Speaking of eating them up, let's eat up the lightning round. The first thing, Facebook is going to tag satirical articles to stop users from falling for the Onion's jokes. We've talked about this a lot. This is one of the things I hate most about the internet, is that people will pass along satire and think it's real and base their political opinions on satire and then go out and vote and have just as important a vote as me, who's only fallen for a satire article once, and it was about Crystal Pepsi, so, you know, that's not too damaging. That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too shabby.
I didn't believe that Mitt Romney was going to ban tampons or anything like that, like half of Tumblr. So I'm pretty into this. I think it's great. I think people need it. People are fucking idiots. And not only are people idiots, but satire that is not from The Onion fucking sucks. And there's, like, a lot of satire websites that I see now. I forget the names of them, but it's, like, not even satire. It's, like, just straight-up lies. Like
that Crystal Pepsi one.
Yeah, like the Crystal Pepsi one. I think, like, that website is one of the bigger ones. I think it's, like, the Empire News or something like that. And stuff like, you know, Hillary Clinton dies in car wreck. And it's, like, that's a lie. That's not a satire. Like, that's not a joke. You're not being satirical. So I'm good with this, man. I'm good with stomping out bad satire and people who so badly want to believe something that they'll believe satire.
Yeah, I think this news is tight, bro. I would actually prefer that this go one step further. And like you mentioned, although I used to be like just against any sort of voting restriction at all, like everybody deserves a vote. Oh, yeah, everybody deserves a vote. That's fucking great. This needs to be the qualifier. I think before a person gets a voting attempt, like this should be on the electronic display, and be like, all right, great. You ventured in all your candidates and all your opinions on the issues. So can you please tell us if this following article is a satire or not? And then they have to like read the headline of something. And it gives the option of if they would like to do more research or if they decidedly resign that, like, yes, this is satire, or no, this is fact, I believe it 100%. And if they choose no, I believe 100%, and the thing is obviously a satire, which it should be, like, that's the rub, then it cancels their ballot and kicks them out. It's like, oh, your vote is not counting right now. Because you have no idea how to interpret facts from jokes.
You actually believe that Joe Biden's working on his Trans Am on the White House lawn. You're not voting, buddy. You got to get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. It's some BS. Facebook is the worst. It's still the worst. I mean, it's great for connecting with people, but that's it. I just use it for messages. I cannot imagine using that for catching up with people vicariously. I need to actually get a hold of them and talk to them about things, because if I read it, then I would just be judging them outright.
Mm-hmm. Remember, you can always like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We would love to catch up with you.
see all recent posts, all our videos, and what other people have to say. Check all that out.
Yep.
But yeah, Facebook's the fucking worst. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. The next story we have is that a 10-hour stream of kindness, they say, according to the story, of paying it forward, ends abruptly when a lady declined to pay it forward. At Starbucks one time, early in the morning, a guy bought whatever drink he's getting, and then he goes, hey, I'll also pay for the guy behind me. And then that kept going for 10 hours until a lady declined. She said, nope. No, I don't want to pay for the guy behind me. And it ended. And I'm very upset about this for a few reasons. One, that lady fucking sucks. If somebody pays for your drink, for a drink you were already planning on paying for, you got to pay that forward. You got to keep going. Like, it's not like somebody just handed her a drink that she might not have gotten anyway. You know? She was already planning on being indebted for the drink. So I think you got to keep going. Two, I think it's weird that the news story calls this kindness. Because it's not really kindness. Like, I mean, it's like the one guy, the first guy was very kind. Everybody else is doing the transactions that they were normally going to be doing, you know, paying for a coffee and getting a coffee. So they're not really being kind. It really made no difference to them. Everybody in the middle, you know, and it's not like they were going and getting a $10 piece of shark to give to a homeless person or anything. Like, they're paying for a $10 coffee to like another middle class dickhead behind them.
Like, oh, I see. Yeah, I was going to say, like, wouldn't the cost be different? But I guess, I mean, I haven't been to Starbucks in a while. I'm guessing everybody's just getting lattes at the wazoo or some shit.
Yeah, they're more expensive when you get them at the wazoo.
I know, their wazoo size is fucking stupid large.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm mad that this lady broke it up, but it is, like, kind of useless. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of silly, but also very Scrooge behavior on this woman's part. I don't know why it was said as kind when I think people were just being kind of humane about it. Like, oh, that was very nice of that person to pay for mine. Well, since I didn't have to pay for anything, and since that generosity was so nice, I, for whatever reason, want to pay for the next person. I mean, some people were probably into it. Other people were probably felt obligated, which still, though, is okay, because I'm sure they've thought, like, you know, they were just basically paying whatever it costs to get that drink for the next person because somebody else did the same for them. I mean, it seems like a pretty simple transaction. And for one person to be like, nope, I'm just going to get a small tea and I expect to pay no more than that for the person next to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, if it's a fucking tea or something that inexpensive, like if you're not going to splurge at Starbucks, you already made the wrong choice by going into a Starbucks. Like, that place basically lives off the fact that you're just going to splurge. So I don't know what that lady was thinking. Yeah, pretty silly. I think it's mainly that. Just like a stupid decision. I mean, why couldn't she just pay it forward? What was the hang-up? Did she say? Or is it just like, no, I need my vast sum of money and I need to be frugal about it. What's so fucking painful about it? Have you ever paid it forward on something like that?
I think one time. I think maybe me and Jess were hanging out one time and we got caught up in one of these and so we paid it forward, but I don't really remember. Maybe it was just Jess. Maybe she told me the story, and I'm somehow my memory is putting me in there too.
Mm. You did put yourself in those photos of Jess's bachelorette party.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes I just throw myself into parts of Jess's life where she does not want me to be.
Yeah, like over her friends' faces.
Yeah, ruining her memories of her true friends who went to her birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lady doesn't say, although one thing that also makes me mad about this is that the barista, because that's what we call them for some reason, asked the lady somebody else already paid for you. Would you like to pay it forward? So if she's asking everybody, then it's not kindness. You're kind of putting them on the spot. It's like much less kind if somebody's asking you, hey, do you want to do this?
Oh, yeah, that's fucked up, man. I thought it was like a continual chain of people coming in, like this never-ending line. And somebody's like, well, the last person did it, I'm doing it too. Like within earshot, the person said, like, hey, buddy, I'm going to pay for yours because somebody else just paid for mine. How's that sound? And it sounds great. And then they say it to the person behind them, like, I'm going to pay for yours because this guy just paid for mine. And like, that sounds great. It's like, I'm going to pay for yours because this lady just paid for mine. Yeah, that's kind of weird. The barista is bringing it up.
Yeah, you can't bring it up.
That's kind of rude.
Yeah. But, you know, I would like somebody to buy me a coffee one day.
Yeah. Have you ever bought drinks for, like, people having a birthday party or something?
Yes. Probably. No, probably not. I like to BYOB.
No. I appreciate that acronym. I did this. The one and only time was actually with those Olympic artichoke dudes. There was a table of lovely looking ladies nearby. And they were accompanied by one dude friend. And one of them had a birthday party. And they were being very friendly and kind of loud. And we were like, oh, those women are pretty attractive. So we're looking over and we're like, is somebody's birthday over there? And they're like, yeah, it's mine. And we're like, well, that's great. And we asked what they were drinking, or not even that, but we went to the bar and we're like, what are they drinking? We'll get them some shots. And we did. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. And we thought that was great, like a nice little gesture or something. I went up to the jukebox afterwards. Birthday girl comes up and she starts bullying me away from the jukebox.
What?
Yeah.
What a bitch.
And she's like, so are you planning on playing something? And I go, well, I mean, it's your birthday. Is there anything you'd like to hear? Just kind of being kind to a fault at this point. And she's like, well, we play a lot of songs on here. So you'll probably, even if you put something as priority, it's going to be like a few songs to play. And I'm like, okay. She's like, so you better pick something. Because it probably won't hear it before you leave. I'm like, this is weird. This is an unusual conversation to have. I'm not saying you have to be nice because I bought you drinks, but what the fuck? You're letting your birthday go to your head right now. Like, I just wanted to play some songs while you were away enjoying some drinks.
Man,
I don't know. It was strange.
I can't even believe that. I'm upset. What a jerk.
Yeah, don't buy drinks for anybody, folks. Yeah. It will go completely unappreciated. I forget what kind of drink it was. It was something like Fireball or some shit like that. So I'm sure it just angered the blood.
Could be.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But never again, dude. Never again.
Yeah, I've definitely bought drinks like that. Like probably never for a stranger because of stranger danger.
Yeah, that's true. I totally ignored that rule. You're right.
But I've definitely spent like way too much money just like getting my friends drunk for fun. And pleasure.
Oh, friends drunk is fun. I mean, yeah, this is all about strangers anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you do when you pay something forward or something's paid forward to you? Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? Let's find out more about a different story.
Sounds good.
For writing a story about shooting a dinosaur, a South Carolina high school student has been arrested. The kid was supposed to write a story about, you know, like what he does in his free time. And he wrote a story about, you know, like I said, his neighbor owning a fictitious dinosaur. And he got so mad at it that he shot it. And that now he's arrested. He's going to go to jail forever. I think this is horrible because, A, the kid was writing. That's what you're supposed to do in school. You know, you're supposed to be free to write about things. Like, that's kind of the point of school. B, he didn't write about shooting the neighbor or the neighbor's dog or the neighbor's thing that really exists in real life. So I think it's cool. Also, if this was a rule back when I was a kid, I would be in jail for so long because I think I just sat in the school, like, from grade 2 to grade 8 writing stories about Freddy killing me and all my friends. So I would definitely still be in jail if this was a law back then. But I don't know. What do you think, Mr. Frisbee? You think this kid should be arrested? Yeah. Sub question, did you ever write any stories that were violent when you were a kid?
Yeah, this kid should definitely be arrested. Because creativity is not allowed in schools. That was his first mistake. His second mistake was writing about guns. Because that's the only way that you can deal with something. I mean, school's a place of intellectual activity. And the best way to be intellectually engaged with something is to completely ignore it, like it doesn't exist. Just pretend that no one just shot up a bunch of women off of a UC campus a couple months ago because no one would want to go out with him, even though he had money. Totally ignore that. Then just also ignore that a young man was shot 6 times for lifting like a couple of Swisher sweets from a liquor store. The best thing you can do is to completely disengage this sort of thing and just pretend like guns don't exist. So yeah, they did the right thing. You gotta shut that stuff down. Like some pregnancies, apparently. Like, don't forget that was a thing too last year or so. We still have some fucked up stuff that we don't address often enough. And you know, for however long it takes, it's only going to take jail time to make sure he never writes anything creative again, you know?
Yeah, I agree. We got to get that, we got to stop these kids from using their imaginations. I think one way to do that would be to treat school like Facebook. This story goes on to say that the project he was working on was that everybody had to sit down and write a status update. Like it's Facebook. And he wrote, I killed my neighbor's pet dinosaur. I bought the gun to take care of the business. Which I like that he calls it the business. I like this guy. I would read his book. But
this kid has a lucrative future ahead of him. I mean, he's considered a threat through writing a fake Facebook status. I mean, if he doesn't get hired onto The Onion, then there's something wrong with The Onion. Honestly, it's pretty brilliant, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I like this kid.
I would love to have been arrested for writing something like dangerous that was so obviously like shitty and a joke. A fucking fake Facebook status. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I see great things in this kid's future. He'll be funny. We'll hear from him again, I'm sure.
Here's another story that I didn't originally have in the lightning round, but I just saw it on the sidebar, and it's like pretty fucking sweet. A snake's severed head kills a Chinese chef while he's preparing it for a meal.
That's rad, dude.
Yeah.
That is the raddest story.
A spitting cobra reportedly bit Chef Peng Fan 20 minutes after being decapitated. Diners listened in horror to the culinary master scream in the kitchen.
That's the best fucking story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That's like, I've never been one for animal rights, but I think I might be now, because that's just the hardest shit I think I've ever heard about an like animal getting butchered and taking revenge before completely dying.
Yeah, man, that's pretty nuts. I like that. I like that this guy got revenge. I like mm-hmm. that even though he was only a head, he probably outlived the chef.
Yeah. He's a goddamn samurai. Like, that's in the way of the samurai. It's like, even if you get decapitated, you must be able to complete your next 3 or 4 moves. And he did. He's like, well, I'm going to bite the shit out of this chef that's grabbing my neck. That's for damn sure. That is fucking awesome. And there are some chefs like anywhere in the world who do this gross shit. And I just would prefer that they didn't. And decapitating like a snake like that in the kitchen is just awful. And a fucking venomous cobra. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Also, although I do have to I guess he was like holding the head. He would have to be like, well, I guess it could spit on him. I guess maybe that was the part of it. But like, how do you even get bit by a head?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's red. It must have been hopping around and shit, like an old NES character or something.
Yeah. I love it. I think this is the coolest snake I've ever heard of.
Right? We have to figure out that snake's name so we can name our children after it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that we'll have kids together because you're married and that's a problem. But I mean, like, separately. Whenever I have kids or you have kids, it's going to be like, Diamond or whatever it is in Chinese.
Yeah. His Christian name is the Indo-Chinese spitting cobra.
Well, that's going to be my kid's name.
Mm-hmm. Here's the sad part of the news, though. The deadly viper, which can grow to 5 feet long and is usually found in Southeast Asian countries, is prized in some Chinese cuisine for its supposed power to cure ailments. Come on.
Right. That's the part that I was alluding to earlier. It's like this shit about, you know, rhinoceros tusk and fucking tiger balls. Like, come on. It's 2014. We have science. We don't need to keep killing animals. I mean, particularly rare animals who are near extinction for fucking their supposed benefits in, you know, curing ailments or as an aphrodisiac, or the list goes on and on. There's more pressing problems. Like, solve hunger first and then start wondering, like, how your dick can get hard.
I need it to get so much harder. I better.
Maybe if I killed this tiger and ate its balls.
I read a story in the news a couple of weeks ago about an archaeologist who went to, like, some rural part of China to, like, find some, you know, dinosaur bones and everything like this. And he was at the store, and everybody kept coming in ordering some stuff, you know, like some very popular stuff. And he's like, hey, what is this stuff that's so popular? Maybe I'll take it home, you know, cook it up. And the guy was like, oh, you know, it's like, it's dragon bones. And the guy was like, what? You know? And then the archaeologist just like bought a bunch and like studied it. And it turns out it was dinosaur bones. The dinosaur bones he's been looking for his entire life.
Jesus. Right? That's just the worst.
Yeah. That's, shouldn't be doing that.
We were snorting this stuff to get erect.
Sorry, you wasted your entire life's work. Sorry, we used up all the dinosaur bones. But
we watched this movie called Predator, and Jesse Ventura said this shit would make you a fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex.
A sexual
Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the weird conundrum they were in.
Yeah, that village did have, like, huge erections, though, to be fair. Number one huge erection village in all of China.
Dick City, USA. Well, good. Yeah, because that's one thing that you need in life. Mm-hmm. When you're a man and you get past, like, your sexual prime, you're like, I really miss having erections every 10 minutes, hour on the hour. Where are those days? Maybe if I just, you know, killed some weird rare animals or dug up some fossils and mixed it with my cocoa. Mm-hmm. It's fucking stupid. That was one of my favorite parts of Pacific Rim, though, is that they played off of that. Like, mm-hmm. Ron Perlman has that business of like, yeah, you just take kaiju blood and you have sex for 8 hours. Who cares? It's rare.
Yeah, I like that part. That whole hunk, like that part with Ron Perlman in Hong Kong was probably the best part of that movie.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie on the whole. Even like the parts where it was dark, it was still better than any Michael Bay action sequence. At least I could tell what the fuck was going on. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, giant robot versus this kaiju in a thunderstorm. But yeah, Ron Perlman is definitely the best part of any movie, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty true. He's a good guy.
Yep.
Speaking of good guys, I think that's the end. Mr.
Oh, we have some iTunes reviews.
Oh!
Speaking of good guys.
Yeah, your segue is much better than mine.
These are from the past couple weeks when I was in Gaza and then doing other shit. And they're pretty red. From August 10th. This is from Matthew Sweetman. Nice. Yes. Titled, I Like Making TT in Your Pool. And he says, I love your show. I saw you had 59 ratings. You needed a nice even number. Much love. Less than symbol numeral 3.
I like this one.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so nice. He actually left us a voicemail at Junk Food Dinner this week to let us know that he left that iTunes review before we actually solicited for iTunes reviews 2 weeks ago because we were so mad we hadn't gotten any. So I think that's nice. Very nice of the sweet man to do.
Yeah, well, the name don't lie. He is a sweet man.
That's true. And he likes the Ramones.
Yeah. Guy likes a lot of the right things, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying. He's great.
He's wonderful.
But we got another one, which puts us at 61. So we're not at an even number anymore. It's odd again, which is unfortunate. It's great that we got this review. We just need another review to make it 62 or round it up to 65.
65. Okay. I like That'd fives and zeros. That's what I
like. Yeah, so like four more would make this even better. But yeah. Here's a great review also.
Well, I do want to commend you real quick. You did that math pretty well, like pretty off the top of the dome. You know, that's why we call you old Archimedes Frisbee.
Old Archimedes Frisbee, they called me.
And they're back. That's great. this one's from Peter Quill's mother. That's really sad.
Oh.
It's titled, "This Podcast is on the Internet," which is also a fact. And he says, "Park Guar," which is a nice little play on your name.
Nice.
And Bow Man. And Man is also in caps there.
Nice.
And Razor Clouds Face Babes, Saw Face Frisbee Babes. That's probably the best series of nicknames I've ever received. This is a great one, too. Referring to our names that you just announced, they do a great job talking to each other about stuff I find relevant to my interests. Normally, those queermos at iTunes delete my obscene negative reviews for podcasts, but I got nothing but good things to say about Pool Party Radio. So that's great.
Yeah, I like that. I like good things said about us.
Yeah, man. And those are probably the best nicknames I think we've ever gotten.
They're pretty good. They're pretty long. I don't know if...
Razor Clouds Face Babes?
Yeah. I don't know if there's been an episode of The Twilight Zone that where we can find a drop of somebody saying this, but... We'll try.
The Cumulus Frisbee is close enough.
Mm-hmm.
I might get my ID changed, my name changed to Razor Clouds Face Babes. Saul Face Frisbee Babes. That's good.
You should get your Christian legal name changed to that.
I'll get my Christian legal name changed to that. I'll get my Christian single name changed to that. I'll get my Christian mingle name changed to that. I'll just get all the Christian stuff changed to that.
I think that would be good. Although you don't want to risk confusing people, you know, with your name changing it all the time, you know?
Frisbee. Is that his name?
Yeah, it's my name.
I think that one might be my favorite. Well, cool. Well, thank you for the iTunes reviews. Leave us more. I know it seems like less and less people are using the iTunes. What are you kids using these days? Send us an email, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Let us know what you're using to listen to podcasts. I know that the Stitcher's taken off, which I used for a long time because you don't have to download crap. Lately, I've been using Podcast Addict, though. I think it's really good. You know, haven't been using the iTunes. So I think you can leave us reviews on Stitcher. Not sure about Podcast Addict, but... you know, wherever you're at, leave us the love.
Mm-hmm. You can also do so on facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We have a site there, and you can like us there. That's some kind of love. It's a form of love.
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave comments, check out photos. You can even friend Parker and I there vicariously through that, or directly through that. And there's also Twitter, @poolpartyradio, but you're better off checking out @FinalParker and @CumulusFrisbee. Mm-hmm. I think that's my name now.
Yep.
And there's also poolpartyradio.com for all our oldie episodes. All the backlog stuff is there. You can download them all there. If you can't find them on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else, the way the kids are getting their podcasts these days.
Yeah, that's a good place to find stuff. You can also find, you might need to recap everything. We have on the left side of the website a list of all the Saved by the Bell episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might be finishing everything here pretty soon. And by everything, I mean the Saved by the Bell stuff. I think it's, unless I can find somewhere online that has the college years, because I don't
have
them.
This is the 25th anniversary of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so hence the Lifetime movie that's coming out, and hence our wrapping up the show. Yeah, that worked out nicely.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we'll be we'll be wrapping up Saved by the Bell, doing the Tory episodes, which is like not actually the last season, and we'll be doing the movie. So yeah, that'll be good. And then maybe the college years, if I can find it. It's like I haven't seen it online anywhere, and buying stuff is like hard to do, you know. So I don't know. you know, I don't have money to go around buying DVDs. So I'm not sure if we'll do those, but normal Saved by the Bell, the real prime shit. It's going to be over soon. It's sad, you know? We've been doing this as long as we've had this show. The first time we did a Saved by the Bell was episode 10.
Yeah. It's been a career-spanning work.
Yeah, I think that's why it's taken us so long. The last time we did one was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it's taken me so long to come to grips with us to, you know, to plan out this last one. You know, it's sad.
I mean, we're so excited, and we're so excited, but we're also so scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know what it's going to be like after this.
That's true. Who knows what we'll do?
Yeah.
We'll do Undressed, the MTV show. We already decided that we'll be doing that, so that's what we're doing, I guess.
Yep. That's the one.
We're not too uncertain, I guess. So there's that. So check those out. And also, October is coming up kind of soon. So maybe we got some Are You Afraid of the Dark, you know? Maybe that'll come up. We did that last year. That was a hell of a lot of fun.
That was. And there's so many stars. Stars out the Voopazoo. They're all on there. You got your Ryan Goslings. You got your Chris's Explaining It Alls.
Yeah, it's a star-studded event. Maybe we'll get a star caliber guest host. Maybe we'll get Sawyer from Kissing Contest.
Mm-hmm. Or Mark Fradio, also of Kissing Contest.
Also a Sawyer, you mean to say. He goes by the name Sawyer on that show.
He goes by the name Huck Finn, because there's already a Sawyer on that show.
Mm-hmm. That's a weird reference.
Thanks. They used to call me Old Weird Reference Frisbee, but that's the only nickname I remember.
That's a good nickname.
Thanks.
I'll try to get that on a drop.
All right.
Yeah, so that's the end of the show. In my challenge, my White Castle challenge, I say thanks for having fun in that, so I feel like I've already had my fill this week of saying thanks for having fun, so I'll leave the honors to you, Mr. Frisbee.
Oh, well, yeah. Thanks for having fun.
Well, I was 21 years when I wrote this song. I'm 22 now, I won't be for long. People ask me, when will you grow up to be a man? All the girls I love in school are already pushing for ants. And I loved you then as I love you still. Though I put you on a pedestal, they put you on a pill. I don't feel sad about letting you go. I just feel bad about letting you go. Well, I don't want to change the world, and I'm not looking for a new England. I'm just looking for another girl. Well, I don't want to change the world, and I'm not looking for a new England. I'm just looking for another girl. And I love the words you said to me. Well, that was bloody yesterday. I can't survive on what you send every time. But you need a friend. Well, I saw two shooting stars last night. I wished on them. They're only satellites. They're wrong to wish on space hardware. I wish you'd care. Uh-oh. Change the world, and I'm not looking for a new England. I'm just looking for another girl. Well, I don't want to change the world. I'm not looking for a new England. I'm just looking for another girl.